Hello and welcome on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. The weather is gorgeous. I thank you for taking time out to tune in as I do every week. We're here Saturdays at noon, Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. And any questions you have, folks, pertaining to your financial future, please call me. I would love to get you pointed in the right direction. I can promise you, you may not like my answer. I may have you doing something differently than you're doing now, or maybe rethinking just how much you trust your current advisor or even your own ability to manage your investments on your own. Folks, you get one opportunity to retire and you can't blow it. Listen, when you reach that magic age, you can't go back and make up for all those decades of working. You get one opportunity to retire and you don't want to mess around with it. You really don't want to mess around with it. You need to have a good portfolio, well-diversified. You can play, have a little bit of money on the side if you want to play, but for the most part, the majority of your investable assets have to be invested prudently. So any questions you have, our phone numbers today, 1-800-TALK-WGY, 1-800-825-5949, 1-800-825-5949. Love to talk to you. So, can you believe it's May 22nd? Whoo, the year is flying. And the stock market's looking pretty good. Dow's up about 12% year to date. S&P 500 index up probably about 11, 12% with dividends. The mid-cap index, 16, almost 17%. Small caps, 20%. If you put the mid and small cap together, you get what we call the Russell 2000, and that's up 12, 13% year to date. That's not bad, folks. After last year, man, oh man. I mean, God, you're doing pretty good. If you look at your three-year annual average return on the S&P, 15%, NASDAQ, 22%, QQQ, the triple Qs, 25%. Once again, not bad. Russell 2000, a little bit less because small caps took a while to catch up to the big boys. About 11% three-year average annual return. So, you know, long-term, folks, stocks are a good place to be. Don't be afraid of stocks long-term. I can assure you, stocks go up. I guarantee you stocks will go down. I guarantee you there's going to be another correction, bear market, recession. And man, oh man, you look, the past 100-plus years, no matter what has happened in our great country or around the world, stocks have recovered. I don't think that's going to change. 1-800-825-5949. Let's start off the day with Jeff in Greenville. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Great. I got two questions for you. I heard on the radio yesterday the Fed's looking into coming out with their own digital currency. Do you think the day of physical currency is going to, you know, pass us? Is it over?
No, absolutely not. Listen, cryptocurrency is getting a lot of play. You know, a lot of people are interested in it. You know, I went to Starbucks today. Jeff, do you know I had the best cup of coffee I've ever had in my life? I'm standing
in
line.
What made it the best?
I'm standing in. I was waiting for that. It's like you and I are working with each other. I was waiting for you to ask that question. I'm standing in line, and this gentleman starts talking to me. You know, I get this a lot. As soon as I say hi or, you know, how are you, stay safe. Oh, geez, I know that voice. You know, I hear it on radio, and I always say, yeah, I have a face for radio. So this gentleman in front of me says, hey, what do you think about the stock market? I said, I love Saturdays and Sundays. I know exactly what the stock market's going to do. And all of a sudden, the guy in front of him turns around, and who is it but my colleague, Marty Shields. Marty Shields bought me a cup of coffee, and I'm telling you, it was the best cup of coffee I've ever had. He should have bought the cup of coffee for the gentleman in between us, now that I think about it. I'm going to have to tell Marty that. But it was a great cup of coffee anyway. Going back to being all serious now with crypto. You know, crypto is you can trade it, obviously. You know, crypto is 24/7, and you know, as we sit here, it's up $2,000, Bitcoin anyway, up to 38,000 and change. I'll let you know what it is at the end of the day. And Ethereum is up $3 to 2,300. You know, that came off a lot. God, I mean, I think it was down 44% at one point before Friday. But cryptocurrency is something that a lot of people want to get into because it's making the news. Listen, when CNBC starts having its own, you know, red down on the bottom of the corner with the S&P and NASDAQ, now we have a cryptocurrency meter watching it every second, which is crazy. So more and more people are getting into it, especially younger people. And some people have made a lot of money. A lot of people have lost a lot of money in the last couple weeks. Make a long story short, the US dollar is not going anywhere. It is the currency in and around the world. It will probably be weakened with all the money that the government has printed, with the debt that we're in now as a country. I think we're up to this year alone $6 trillion that we're just printing. It's like we have a printing press. I guess we do have a printing press in this country.
We
But
have a
the
lot
U.S.
of them.
dollar's not, yeah, the U.S. dollar's not going anywhere. And you know, just sum it up. Now that doesn't mean, listen. You know, I joke. I thought it was a fad. I thought it would come and go and disappear. When you see that there's traction here, cryptocurrency could be an asset class. I'm still waiting to see, but it could be an asset class down the road where it's here to stay. And then you have to decide which ones are safe. Is Bitcoin safe? Probably safer than Dogecoin, which was kind of created as a joke. So you have to be careful, and I can't stress that enough. I started off the show saying you get one opportunity to retire. You don't want to be putting your retirement life savings into cryptocurrency at this stage of the game.
Gotcha. I
What's
have
your
a different
second
question
question?
for you, though.
Yeah, today's a twofer.
Electric vehicles. I've been kicking around getting another car. Do I go for electric? Do I go for gas? And if I go for electric, should I wait because, you know, this government is so pro in electric vehicles? Would it be advantageous to wait and maybe some better incentives come down the road?
Nope. Go
What do you think?
electric all the way, baby. I love the roar of a good engine. And I caved in. I have a very good client that told me once I go electric, I'm not going back. And I got my first electric car last year. I say first because I'll be getting another. And I'm telling you, it's nimble and quick, 750 horsepower. Jeff, you know, I like fast horses, fast cars. This car is fast. And I just step on the gas pedal just a little bit and I'm going quick. But electric vehicles are here to stay. You see it. I think what was the news yesterday or the day before? Ford is coming out with a pickup truck that's going to be electric, and it's supposed to be pretty good. Electric vehicles are here to stay. So don't be afraid to get into a electric vehicle. It's a different feel than gas powered vehicles. Believe me, I still like the roar of an engine. Somebody told me yesterday that I should just get a pair of headphones and you know, kind of do a YouTube revving up the engine. But I like my electric vehicle, and I think I got a $7,500 tax credit last year for buying an electric vehicle. That's not bad. But more and more companies are coming out. I saw this week Lamborghini is going basically, I think they're going all electric soon. So you're going to see more and more popularity with electric vehicles. Now the problem is, and I say this, I was in Saratoga and I needed to charge my car, and I go across the street to this beautiful, brand new, there has to be 1,000 parking spots in this new garage in the historic downtown Saratoga Springs. Do you know they only have four charging stations? Four pathetic charging stations. I say this because I'm hoping people in Saratoga are hearing and listening to me say this. Four pathetic charging stations, two of them don't work. It's a brand new garage. Electric vehicles are the future. What were they thinking? Five levels of this garage. They have four charging stations on one level on the other side, of the garage. What were they thinking? Electric vehicles are here to stay.
Did you get one of them to charge your car?
Yeah, and then I don't laugh at me, and I was down to zero. I walked away. I woke up in the middle of the night. Usually I'm checking the Tokyo stock markets. I literally, because I'm able to pull up the app on my phone, and it showed that the charger was dead. So I walked. My wife thought I was crazy. 3 in the morning, I'm out moving my car looking for another charging station because I had to be somewhere in the morning, and I had no juice. I unfortunately let it drain down, thinking that it would be easy to charge my car. Little did I know it wasn't easy to charge my car. So that's the problem, is the government, I'm all in favor of spending money on infrastructure, and, electric is here to stay. They need to really step up their game and give the consumer a lot of options, just like gas stations. There's a lot of gas stations, but there's not as many electric charging stations.
Yep.
Go electric.
All right, Steve,
try one.
Thank you for your information. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Hey, Jeff, thank you for calling. And try one of those electric vehicles. I'm telling you, you'll hear the wind. It's so quiet. 1-800-825-5949. 1-800-825-5949. Any questions whatsoever? Yeah, cryptocurrency is popular, folks, but you got to be careful. I can't begin to tell you. You got to be careful. And, banks, I don't think, there are some countries around the world that are actually looking into having a digital currency as part of their makeup. But, I'm just not sure if it's here to stay in that capacity or not. You just have to be careful. I can't stress it enough. You have to be careful. A lot of people have made a lot of money. Listen, Bitcoin went all the way up to $65,000. It came all the way down to $30,000 and back up to $40,000. From $30,000 to $40,000, it went from like $44,000 down to $30,000 and $30,000 to $40,000 within, listen, I think the average bear market is 18 months. And with cryptocurrency, it's like 18 minutes. I mean, you can all of a sudden, it's up and down, up and down, up and down. You got to be careful. I'm going to take a 15-second break. Don't go anywhere. Hello, and I am back. Thank you, Zach, for letting me take that 15-second break. The phone lines are open, folks. 1-800-825-5949. 1-800-825-5949. So, it looked like not a whole lot happened this week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell about 175 points, 0.5%, to close at 34,208. S&P down 0.4% to close at 41.55. NASDAQ was up this week, up 0.3%. I know it's not a lot, but remember, NASDAQ's been down the last, how many weeks have I been saying this? 3-4 weeks, NASDAQ's been down. So I'll take it being up, even though it's only up 0.3%. Listen, that's almost an 0.8% swing between the broad stock market index and NASDAQ. So I'll take that. Absolutely. NASDAQ closed at 13,471 almost. The 10-year Treasury yielding about 1.63%. You're not, folks, it's going to be a while, I think, before yields go back up, and I don't think you're going to, be making a whole lot of money. I feel bad for grandma and grandpa. They used to take the interest and delve it out into Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, use that interest. Well, the grandkids just aren't getting a whole lot of gifts. I can tell you that interest rates have been low for quite some time, and I think they're going to be low for quite some time to go, which is why, I've said it often, if you're looking to buy a home, don't wait too much longer. Mortgage rates, between the 15-year and the 30-year national average, somewhere between 2.5% and 3.1% on average. Obviously, each financial institution is different. Those are the national averages. But the U.S. 10-year Treasury note yielding 1.63, that means if you bought one yesterday, for the next 10 years, Uncle Sam will guarantee you 1.63% year in, year out, and give you your money back. If you put $100,000 in, you're going to get $1,630 a year for 10 years. Hey, give me the S&P 500 index with the 1.5% dividend yield, and I'll take my gamble that 10 years from now, that S&P, if I put $100,000 in, will hopefully be worth a whole lot more than $100,000. Now, I could be wrong, but for the most part, I'm pretty sure that S&P, if history is any indication, you know, with time, the stocks do well. So I would take my chances and risk having my money in the S&P for 10 years rather than give it to Uncle Sam at 1.63%. Tech stocks, as I said, higher. The NASDAQ being up for the week, which was nice to see. Not all sectors were up. When you look at, you know, the number one sector, I think was healthcare up 0.74%. Healthcare hasn't been doing all that great. Utilities up 0.31%. These are what we call defensive areas where people go. And when there's uneasiness in the markets, people are looking for this. And the reason why I think the technology stocks did pretty well, the sector, you know, the S&P has 11 sectors. And if you look at the information technology sector, up 0.13%. And I'm pretty sure that's because it looks as though the Fed is going to keep interest rates low. When interest rates look like they were going up, technology got beat up because of the, you have to discount the future earnings growth of cash flow and profits and so forth. And with higher interest rates, it doesn't look as appealing. And that's why technology stocks really got beat up. For the week, Apple did not do too good, off about 1% for the week, but we still believe in Apple. Apple is, you know, even though year to date Apple is down, we like Apple. It's a great, great company. It's in our portfolios for our qualified accounts, and I'll hold on to it. Speculative stocks, and this is where I worry about investors taking money out of the broad stock market index or NASDAQ, which are our top two holdings, or other great holdings, and basically speculating, getting into, you know, stocks that you know, this ARK Innovation Fund has been hot, and the Renaissance IPO fund has been hot. The Defiance Next Gen SPAC Derived has been hot, you know, but not year to date, and not especially over the last several weeks. So when you look at a lot of these stocks in these funds, these speculative funds, down almost 30% for the week, a lot of these companies did bad. So it's, when it comes to your portfolio, folks, you got to be careful. I can't stress it enough. You have to be careful, and you don't want to be taking undue risk with your assets that you need to retire on. Listen, I know you're going to look back and say, "Well, geez, Steve, Bitcoin was up like 1,000% last year." I know, and you maybe you missed out on it. But Bitcoin was also 65,000 just a couple weeks ago, and here we are sitting at 38,000. It was 30,000 just a couple days ago. There's risk. Can you sleep at night? And you know, you need to you need to take this all into perspective, which is why we say, listen, if you want to play with speculative holdings or cryptocurrency, open up what we call a sandbox account. That's where you take a little bit of money and you play. If you lose it all, it won't affect your retirement. It won't affect really, you know, the assets that you need to retire. Folks, Social Security on average provides about $15,000 a year to the average retiree that's collecting Social Security. So to put it in perspective, let's make believe you and your spouse, $50,000 is enough for you to live on. Well, let's make believe each of you get $15,000 from Social Security. There's 30. Now, where's the other $20,000 a year going to come from? Well, that $20,000 has to come from some kind of a portfolio. And that means you have to have, in our estimation, about $400,000 or $500,000 in order to safely provide you $20,000 to $25,000 of withdrawals year in, year out, and to be able to keep up with inflation and have that nest egg. And I'm just using simple numbers. $50,000 is not a lot of money to retire on, but just kind of put it in perspective. If you need $100,000, that $15,000 doesn't change. You and your spouse are going to get about $30,000 collectively from Social Security. The remaining $70,000 has to come from your investments. So, now you have to have about $700,000-$800,000 saved up. You get the point. If you want to be a millionaire at age 65, the earlier you start, the better off you're going to be. Let's make believe you get a 10% return year in, year out, 10%. And you decide to put money away month in, month out, from now until you're 65. If you start at age 25, you only have to put away about $150, $160 a month. You do that month in, month out, you're going to have $1 million at age 65. If you wait till age 30, just 5 years, you almost have to put away $100 more, about $260, $270 a month, month in, month out. You only waited 5 years, you have to put about $100 more. If you wait 10 years longer to age 40, now you got to put away about $750, $750 to have $1 million at age 65. And if you wait just 10 years longer, let's make believe that all of a sudden you had that big birthday, you turn 50 and you're getting serious about retirement and you want to have $1 million at age 65. And let's make believe you need that $1 million. Let's make believe you're spending $100, $100 and a quarter a year and take into consideration Social Security. You need $1 million. Well, now you got to save $2,500 a month, month in, month out, from the age of 50 to the age of 65 to have $1 million if you're earning 10% a year. So the sooner you get started, the better off you're going to be. I can't stress that enough. And that's why I'm here week in, week out to help you. Any questions you have pertaining to your financial future, 1-800-825-5949, 1-800-825-5949. We're going to take a quick break for the news. It's only 2 or 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere. On the other side of the news break, as I said, I would love to talk with you. So prepare your questions and give us a call, 1-800-825-5949, 1-800-825-5949. Any questions whatsoever, see you in 2 quick minutes. Hello and welcome back. Thanks for hanging in through the news and thank you for tuning in, folks. Our phone numbers today, 1-800-825-5949, 1-800-825-5949. So, yesterday stocks were a little crazy. It looked like they were going to continue, trading positive after Thursday's gain, but all of a sudden, technology got sold off, other growth stocks got sold off around midday, same time that Bitcoin turned lower, the cryptocurrency was hit. This time, because the Chinese came out, the Chinese authorities, that they were cracking down on mining and trading. There's a lot that goes into making Bitcoin. I'm guessing that not the average bear realizes that. Value stocks in the financial and energy sectors held on to their gains yesterday. Investors continue to favor shares of these companies that will do well if the economy continues to do well, which we're hopeful that the economy will continue to do well. Just look around, folks. I mean, It's refreshing in a way to see so many people out and about, and whether they're wearing a face mask or not, I respect everybody and their feelings. Believe me, I have, my colleagues, my team members, each and every one of them is different in their feelings on this COVID-19, and I respect each and every one of them for their feelings, and I'm sensitive to each and every one of them. And you need to do that for family and friends and even strangers. Don't make somebody feel funny whether they're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. Try to understand that they may have a different feeling than you. Me, myself, personally, I'm still careful. I wear my mask even though I'm vaccinated. If I'm around a lot of people, I'm just waiting to see, get a feel for it. So I'm a little hesitant, a little, I guess, let's say conservative, safe maybe in my mind. But as the economy starts to open up, and I keep saying the consumer who makes up 2/3 of the economy has a boatload of money. They haven't spent a lot of money in the last year. And their favorite uncle, his name is Sam. Uncle Sam keeps sending them stimulus checks. And for those that are sitting home not working, they're getting more money now than they were getting when they were working. There's no incentive for a lot of people to go back to work, which is why so many businesses are suffering and so many small businesses are going out of business. I mean, I have clients with restaurants that are closing down. They can't operate 6 days a week, 7 days a week. They're down to 3 days a week, 4 days a week. Some are going to close for the summer. It's bad, folks. Bad, bad, bad. We keep paying people to sit home. They're going to do that. It's human nature. Sit home. Get paid to sit home. Not everybody is feeling good about getting up and getting out there. There's jobs. I'm amazed just about every place you go drive by, there's signs outside saying hiring. There are jobs. But as long as the government's going to pay people to sit home, they have absolutely no incentive to get up, go out, get a job, and forgo that easy money sitting home. So the consumer makes up 2/3 of the economy. The consumer has a boatload of money. And I'm optimistic that they are going to spend that money. And I'm optimistic that the stock market, even though, hey, we're going through a few weeks of, up a little, down a little, but I'm optimistic that the stock market will continue to do well. So, yesterday the S&P was down about 3 points and down, I don't know, about 0.1% yesterday, close at 41.55. For the week, it was off 0.4%. 0.4% is what the broad stock market index was off for the week. And that was the first stretch of back-to-back losses since, oh, the beginning of February. The Dow yesterday down about 123 points to close, off about 0.4% at 34,208 for the week. NASDAQ slid 64 points, 0.5% yesterday, close at 13,470. The Dow, as I said, was off about 4 or 5 tenths of a percent, just about a half a percent, while NASDAQ was up 0.3%. 4 weeks, NASDAQ was down, folks, 4 weeks. So it was nice to see NASDAQ up this week, up 0.3%. I know it's only 0.3%. I'm okay with that. It was up, not down. 1-800-825-5949. 1-800-825-5949. Any questions whatsoever? First 3 days of the week, a lot of selling on Wall Street, basically worries about inflation rising and will the Fed stick to its promise of not raising interest rates? Remember, the Fed, when they fear inflation, when they fear that the price of goods and services are going up, they'll try to slow that down by what we call tapping their foot on the brake a little bit, like driving a car, slowing the car down. So when you see interest rates go up, they're slowing the economy down, raising interest rates up a little bit, not having that money be so easy to get, have it be a little bit more expensive, tapping the brakes on the economy. When they lower interest rates or keep interest rates low as they're doing now, they want people to go out there and borrow money and stimulate the economy. That's why the Fed does what they do. So when you see, you know, Wednesday especially, the Federal Reserve published their minutes of their latest policy meeting and showing that officials were still closely watching how the economy is playing out, and they'll be ready to adjust when necessary. So if inflation looks like it's rearing its ugly head more so than planned, you're going to see the Fed maybe not stick to its promise. But let's hope that the Fed sticks to its promise. Friday we had good news on the manufacturing arena. Manufacturing activity continued to increase. And, you know, banking and energy, when the economy does well, these are areas that we are overweight. We overweight more now in banking than we were before. In energy, we just added a few weeks ago as a tactical position. So we like the idea that the economy may take off. 1-800-825-5949. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Jim in Cohoes. Hello, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Listen, I wanted to reach back a little bit to the electric vehicles. I had a question for you.
Okay.
Going back, see, if you were to go out 20 years from now, with the technology that's also in the hydrogen vehicles, and with Saudi Arabia investing hundreds of billions of dollars into making hydrogen manufacturing facilities, what would you think would be the vehicle in the future 25, 30 years out, electric or hydrogen?
So I want you to know I have a little glass ball on my desk, but it's a paperweight. It's not a crystal ball. I wish it was a crystal ball. I can't even answer that, Jim. Listen, the world changes by the day with technology, and who would ever think that some of the things that we incorporate into our life today would be around? But I can't answer that question. I'm not sure, you know, it's changing. As I said, you're seeing more and more car manufacturers getting into electrical vehicles. It's here to stay. I know that. I believe that. And, you know, I never knew what the hype was until I bought an electric vehicle. And you realize, I mean, heck, if you need to get out of the way, if you have to be nimble and quick, I mean, you just kind of tap that gas pedal, no pun intended, let me say, what do you want to call it? It's not a gas pedal, right, Jim? What would I call a pedal in an electric car? The electric pedal? But you just tap it, and you're taking off, no hesitation. Boom, just like that.
Accelerator pedal.
Yeah. I don't know, but I do know that electric vehicles are here to stay. I'm actually thinking of a hybrid vehicle, because the only downside to an electric vehicle is you have to plan. Obviously, if you're traveling long distance, you have to plan long distance and where are you going to stop and charge. And believe me, there's a lot of charging stations. We need a whole lot more. But with a hybrid, you can fall back on gas. But listen, this technology is here. Who knows what's going to go on? I mean, look at the local company, Plug Power. I mean, Plug Power, you know, had quite a run. You know, earlier this year, it was up to, what, $60 a share? And people thought that was great coming from where it came from. And it's all the way back down to, what, $23 a share, I think, as I sit here. But people forget, Plug Power's high was $1,500 a share years ago, when there was a lot of hype over that technology. And I mean, you read
the Obama administration, wasn't it?
It was, I think it goes back, yeah, or even before that. But there was a lot of hype, and when you read, you know, what Plug Power is about and how they can help, you know, factories and, you know, power these tractors or, you know, whatever they want to call them, it seems like a no-brainer. But it's not, you know, it's volatile. So electric vehicles are here. That doesn't mean people should go out.
I like about the hydrogen aspect, and California has a hydrogen highway now, goes along the coast. So if you do have a vehicle, you know, you have options to get it, almost like a gasoline station. But with the hydrogen, it actually, the byproduct from it is water coming out the tailpipe.
Yeah.
Where with the electrical ones, even though it's electrical, you have to charge that, and it's being generated right now by fossil fuels. So I'm not really quite sure where, and that's why I'm sort of thinking that the hydrogen in the future would probably be a better option, and maybe the electrical is just a stopgap to get to that point.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're using, as you say, that hydrogen fuel or motive power, I mean, you know, some people, you know, it's like space rockets when you think about it, that technology, you know, it's affordable, obviously.
They're already creating vehicles. I mean, Ford's got a pickup truck that's a hydrogen vehicle.
Yep.
Unfortunately, in my area, in the Capital District here, the only place you can get hydrogen is down Albany. So that makes it difficult.
Yeah, well, you know, electric vehicles on average, I don't know. I guess they're about 200 miles on range, and hydrogen is a little bit more, about 300 miles. But, you know, as I said, you got to plan out what you're buying this car for and how much you plan on driving it. And if it doesn't make sense for you to have electric, then maybe hybrids next. But listen, this technology, I do believe in it. I think it's here to stay. I think people want to do good for the environment. I think this is a good way. Hey, Jim, stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you for the phone call. Thank you for your comments. 1-800-825-5949. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Mike and Hadley. Hello, Mike.
Oh, hi, Steve. I mean, Steve. Steve, you're talking about these electric cars. I know they're very expensive. They're much more expensive than gasoline at the present time. Outside of that, what's the advantage of owning an electric car? Is it going to last longer? Am I going to get more? I can, instead of getting 200,000 miles on the car, maybe I can get 500,000. Does it have that kind of an advantage?
Yeah, that I can't answer that. I can't answer that, to be honest. I don't know the answer to that, and I'll be honest with you.
Explained which the problem you ran into, I wouldn't want to have an electric car if I would have run into that problem even once.
Well, remember, it goes to the planning, right? Now, some people, when they're traveling, they look for hotels to stay at that have the charging stations, like the rest areas on the Northway, you know, up in Glens Falls has a fast charger. So, you know, within minutes, you could have your battery charged. But obviously, if you own an electric vehicle, you should have a charging station in your home. And as think of it this way, Mike. You don't fill up your gas tank every night, and not everybody will be charging their battery every night. Now, I gambled a little. I let my battery go lower than I should have, not thinking that I'd have a problem with that parking garage. I've never been in it, so that was my first time thinking that I could charge my car there, and I left it there, and little did I know. I mean, 1,000 parking spots, a brand spanking new parking garage in Saratoga, and they only have four pathetic charging stations, and two of them didn't work, and the other two, I actually all four of them didn't work because I couldn't get, you know, two of them just died, the other two, so obviously they had a problem. But you know, if you have a home and you have a charging station in your home, you charge up your car every 2-3 nights when you go to bed, and you always have a fresh battery, a full battery. But as I said, if you're going to be taking long distance trips, you have to have that inconvenience of, you know, stopping to charge. How far can you go? But the technology, you can plan all of that. It's not for everybody. I like it. I like fast horses and fast cars, and this car goes fast.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, But I think the electric cars are a wave of the future. But for me to go out and buy an electric car right now, I want to see more stations, and I want to see the price come down, and someone give me a real good reason as to why electric car is better than for maintenance and mileage and everything else. Then I think I would buy an electric car.
And a lot of people, I think, Mike, especially listening, will agree with you. Me? My friend sold me on the fact that, you know, if I want to get around somebody, I can do it within a second. And I like that reaction. So I bought it for the nimble and quickness of it.
Right.
I didn't really, you know, listen, some people will have the pros and cons and map it out and what's the expense over time. Everybody's different, but you bring up some good points, Mike.
Well, I think that's the wave of the future. And as things, just what happened to computers, I wasn't the first one to get a computer, but as the price came down, now I wouldn't be without one.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, you know what else was coming down since I started the show? Are you ready for this?
What's that?
Well, Ethereum is down $7 since I started the show. It was up when I started the show. Bitcoin's still hanging out, up about $2,000. You know, I'm just trying to lighten up the conversation, get off electric vehicles.
Okay. Can I ask you another question?
Sure. Today's a twofer.
Bitcoins in this. I mean, basically, you know, I can see they're very speculative, but what's why did they get developed, and what's behind them? That's, and it's got to be something. I don't understand how the mechanism works for owning these things.
Well, you know, that's a great question, and that's something that a lot of people are asking. Is it just a fad? Is it here to stay? Believe me, a lot of people, you know, I mean, Dogecoin, Mike, that was created as a joke, and all of a sudden, you know, we have a lot of people that are chatting on the social media and platforms like Reddit and other platforms, Robinhood. I mean, you know, they are driving the price up and down, not only on cryptocurrency, but also on stocks. I mean, go back to the beginning of the year, GameStop and AMC Entertainment and some other stocks. And it's crazy what's going on, which is why investors have to be careful. But, you know, some people have made a lot of money, believe me, a lot of money, but they've also lost a lot of money in the last couple of weeks. So like every speculative investment, you have to be careful. Cryptocurrency is speculative. Whether it's here to stay or not, I don't know, but it's speculative.
Outside of speculative or buying it, I want to know what's the main advantage of owning it.
Well,
what
some
is it
dark
do for me. I don't want to speculate. I don't want to buy it if it's not going to doesn't have a bona fide purpose.
Well, some dark corners of the world use it instead of currency. Sometimes I guess it's untraceable. Elon Musk of Tesla was accepting Bitcoin. You could literally come in with a coin and buy a Tesla. Now he's not because of the environmental impact, all that goes into making Bitcoin. So he stopped it, and that kind of drove the price down a little bit. You know, it's a crazy thing. You have to be careful. Hey, Mike, good questions. Thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. 1-800-825-5949. 1-800-825-5949. I talked about interest rates at the beginning of the show. And, you know, anybody borrowing money, believe me, folks, don't put any more money down than you need to. You really don't need to put more money down than you need to. When you have interest rates this low, you know, if you can get a mortgage at 3% in that neighborhood, and let's make believe you have a balanced portfolio, and I can go back 90, 92 years, the Ibbotson charts of the average return of stocks is 10 to 12%, the average return of bonds is 4 to 6%, inflation average is 3%. So, you know, if you have a balanced portfolio, maybe you're going to earn 7, 8%. So if you're earning 7, 8% on your investments over time, you know, based on historical averages, no guarantee of the future returns, but over time, that's a pretty good record of averages. If you're earning 8%, let's say, in a balanced portfolio, and you're only paying 3% in a mortgage, why take money out of your investments? That's 5% you could be earning. That's profit. Long-term average returns, historical average returns. So, you know, borrowing money, you know, don't wait till you have a 20, 30, 40% down payment. Heck, if you can get in with a 10% down payment with interest rates being low, if you found that house that you like and you feel it's a good value, and believe me, prices, real estate's going crazy through the roof. I don't know how long it'll go on, but you know, home buying in this country has been crazy. Although for April, it's come down a little bit. Existing home sales fell about 2.7% in April from March. Annual rate of about 5.85 million units, according to the National Association of Realtors. That came out on Friday. April marked the third straight monthly decline, the longest downward stretch since last spring when COVID-19 related lockdowns eased and buyers started flocking to tour homes because people feel safe. They're ripping off their face masks and going out and, you know, doing things that they haven't done for a long time. But, you know, what's driving down the home prices? I'm not sure. We got low mortgage rates. That's a plus. People are still, listen, more and more people are going to be working remotely. I know my people, my team, you know, I'm going to let them work remotely a little bit. Why not? Let them stay at home. I don't need to measure their productivity by how many hours they sit at their desk. You know what? Life's short. And I've learned over the last 15, 16 months, I could be a pretty darn good guy and let my people have a balance in life. There's nothing wrong with that. So I'm okay with people working remotely. Heck, next winter, if we're going to get an inch of snow instead of having people put themselves at risk and driving into work and shoveling out and sweeping off the snow off their cars, I'm going to let them work remotely. So working remotely, I think, is here to stay. But more and more people are going back to work in the offices. But a lot of people were buying houses, getting out of the cities, adding on to their homes or buying a bigger home because they are working remotely. More and more companies are going to let people work remotely permanently. Why pay high mortgage rate or not mortgage rates, lease rates to rent property when you people can work from the comforts of their home and still be productive and have a better outlook on life because you're treating them well. So the world is changing, but home buying has been down the last few months, and I haven't wrapped my fingers around it. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. We're coming up to the end of the show. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Yes, I will be here live to take your questions, any questions you have. In the meantime, go to our website, Boucher.com. You'll get a lot of information, a lot of good information on our team, although I have to update it. We got some good news, which I'll share with you tomorrow. So come back tomorrow morning around 8 o'clock. I'll be here 8 to 9. In the meantime, enjoy this Saturday afternoon. Stay safe, stay healthy, folks.